Sherry, you can't be heard. Can you use star one to unmute?
Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Today is Tuesday, August 9th, and today we are reading from the Big Book on page 20, and we are reading the fourth paragraph. Today's readers are Justin B., Jody E., and Dana P. The reference number for Monday, August 8th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting is 19,269. And the share ID for Tuesday, August 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard is 19,272. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., a recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rhonda. And next up is Nancy R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you so much, Sherry, and good morning. I'm Nancy R., a compulsive overeater in New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA is, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And I pass.
Thank you. Thanks, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star one to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star one to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20, the fourth paragraph, reading that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Justin B. to begin the reading for us. Go ahead, Justin.
Good morning. This is Justin B., a compulsive overeater living in the state of Washington and in the state of recovery for today. Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Now, these are commonplace observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. Yeah, I'm happy to be sharing on this, and I wanted to share yesterday, but I knew that I would be sharing today, and I wanted to obey the three-day thing. But what a beautiful and powerful couple of paragraphs here. Now on this one, that are commonplace observation on drinkers that which we hear all the time on eaters. Just recently, I was at a friend's house. It was his birthday celebration, and I was grateful to have been invited and had a fantastic time there. But he was constantly saying, "Hey, Justin, just have some of this, just have some of that." And I just was like, "Thank you, but no, thank you. I can't do that. I react in a way to those types of foods that are not healthy for me and aren't healthy for others when I react that way." A lot of people over the last few months have been asking me what I'm doing, because gratefully the physical manifestation of the spiritual healing that is happening has been happening. And I try not to, you know, jump into a whole lot of things. I just say I'm surrendering every food decision I make to someone else and to my higher power. And it's a strange reaction I get. And yet I hear those voices of ignorance and misunderstanding, not only from those on the outside, but from my own head. I'm an addict. I'm a liar. I try and convince myself that I got it figured out now. This solution is working. I can just, you know, continue to do what I'm doing without the spiritual solution, without the fellowship solution, and that voice sometimes gets pretty loud, and it's a big fat liar. I have to remember that, you know, I react differently than others do. And not only do I have to have grace for others who may try and convince me to do what I shouldn't do, what I can't do, but I need to have honesty with myself that voice in my head is also telling me that I'm just like other people. I should be able to eat like a gentleman. Well, I've proven that through many years that I cannot. Anyways, I'm so grateful for this program, grateful for the opportunity to serve and to read and share. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Justin, for getting us started. And let's see, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you didn't share on Friday or Monday, please go ahead and give me your name and where you're from. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Jennifer D, and I am from New Jersey.
Great. I'm going to take a lineup, so I'm going to put you down for the first speaker. So let's see if anyone else wants to put their name. Thank you.
Okay.
And then we'll circle back around and I'll take a list. So hopefully there'll be others. Anyone else want to share after Jennifer?
Yvonne A.
A in Colorado.
Yvonne
Allison
A.
B.
And then who is from Colorado?
Joyce A.
Great. I have Jennifer D, Yvonne A, Joyce A, and Allison B. Anyone else?
April B, Virginia.
This is Judy with an I, J, from Illinois.
Great. That's a wonderful lineup. Let's go ahead and start with Jennifer D. Go ahead and unmute, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is my first OA meeting. I am so grateful that everyone's here. I'm so grateful to hear a lot of voices on the line. Reminding me that I'm definitely not alone. Today's my first day of surrendering. So, I just wanted to make sure I put that out there. As far as the big book and that paragraph, oh my gosh, I love what Justin said about being a liar to myself. I do that all the time. I live with my husband and daughter, and they are able to pretty much eat anything they want with no issues. Mm-hmm. I am not. I'm an emotional eater, and I can't eat like everybody else, and it's just been really, really tough. I don't know how to do this, and like I said, I'm just so grateful everybody's here. Thanks so much, and that's all. Thanks.
Oh, welcome. We're very happy to have you here, Jennifer, and please stay till the end of the meeting, and we will be taking names and numbers of those that are new, and then other members can reach out to you because we do this together, not alone, and we're very happy that you're here. Thank you for sharing this morning. Next up is Yvonne A., followed by Joyce A. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Good morning, everyone. It's Yvonne A., recovered for today, gratefully, in BC, Canada. And I have to say that the words ignorance and misunderstanding applied to myself. I had absolutely no idea of the doctor's opinion of what the Big Book 12 steps were, how this program was going to apply to me or help me do something that I had failed to do for 50 years. And so it has been an incredible eye-opening thing for me. And as I've worked my way through the steps, I realize that my ignorance and misunderstanding has harmed me for all these decades, but it has also harmed others because here I am in this very large body, eating foods out of control on a pretty much daily basis, and yet judging everybody else at the same time for my failures. And it's really through doing these two steps that I realized that that was, you know, that's one of my character defects, is judging people for my shortcomings. And so it was just such a relief to find out that, yes, I was broken, but not broken in the way that I thought I was broken. I didn't have the information I needed. I didn't understand what the correct steps were, and how a higher power was the only thing that was going to be able to relieve me of my addiction to food. And so I just am grateful to hear that this morning and to be reminded back again to, you know, be out there with love and tolerance and kindness, trying to break through some of that ignorance and misunderstanding that is very prevalent out there today. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Yvonne. Next up is Joyce, and then followed by Allison. Go ahead, Joyce.
Thank you. This is Joyce A. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Great. I'm in Colorado. I'm home recovering from COVID. So if I start coughing, I'll just pass. But yeah, I listened to this paragraph, and I read the paragraph before, and the one that always stood out to me was, oh, she has a lovely face. I guess the rest of me look like chopped liver. But they at least thought my face was pretty. They were trying, I think, to come up with something that was worth commenting on. And, you know, if they had asked me why I acted the way I did, why I ate the way I did, I would not have had an answer. I was as baffled as they were. I just knew that there was not enough food in the kitchen or in the county to make me feel better. And I wanted to feel better. I wanted to be happy. And that just never came to me. But with this program, and I know it's a program of no choice. I have heard that before, that we reach a point where we really have no choice. But with God's help, now I choose. I choose not to eat those things which set me off, those things that I just can't tolerate. And with the grace of God, I have been able to do it now for over 175 days. Even through this illness, I have remained abstinent, and it's only through His blessing. So I know that this can be done. I know that now I have a choice. And that's so incredibly empowering. I don't have to go to the food anymore. I have program. I have support. I have people in my God squad that I could call when I'm upset or tempted. And I have a great sponsor who's there for me every day. And it's just a whole new way of living, and it's a much, much better one. I am now happy. I have achieved my happiness, and I didn't do it with food. But when I was back there in the food, I did not see another way out. I felt hopeless, and I felt ashamed, and it was not a good way to live. But this is so much better, so much better. And I wish this on everyone now, that they find abstinence, and they find their higher power, and they live in peace. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing. Allison is up next, followed by April.
Hi, my name is Allison B. I'm calling from New Mexico. I'm really just calling, just sharing to claim my spot, which I really need to do at this point. To be perfectly honest, I'm struggling with program, and it's by my own design. It's not program, it's me. And that paragraph was so perfect, you know, and the share was perfect too, that it's sometimes it's that that doubting voice inside our heads that say, "Oh, you can do this. You can do this without your higher power, without the 12 steps." And it's like riding a galloping horse without a saddle. And I I've had long-term abstinence, and I lost it during COVID for various reasons, and it's just been difficult to gain it back. So I appreciate hearing all these positive stories from people today and how supported they feel and, you know, surrounded by recovery. Because I tell you, as soon as I got on this call this morning and heard, you know, the paragraph, it's like, no, people just don't understand. They just don't understand. And sometimes I don't even understand, and I need to hear it again and again and again. So thank you for the recovery that you have. It helps me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Allison. Welcome to, and glad you shared today. Next up is April, followed by Jody. Or maybe it was Judy. But anyways, April's up now. Thank you.
Hi, this is April B. calling from Virginia. Gosh, you know, that little paragraph means a lot to me because I used to get so irritated and angry when people would offer me stuff and I, you know, said, you know, no thank you or I don't need that. But I realized that the ignorance means lack of knowledge. And so I do share with friends and family pretty specifically the things that I don't eat and why. And, you know, they still may not get it or understand it. If they don't have this disease, they don't get it, they don't understand it. But they hear it, and then at least they're able to, you know, in some way comprehend why I'm not going to have birthday stuff, why I, you know, weigh and measure all the things that I'm putting on my plate, and I don't just kind of, you know, buffet style or family style eating the way other people do. And I had to, you know, I have to have that level of honesty all around. Otherwise, my disease is sneaky, and maybe when I'm eating at so-and-so's house, maybe I don't want to weigh and measure. Or, you know, the thoughts of maybe I don't have to, or it's okay this time, or I don't want to be embarrassed. All that sort of stuff. And I just, you know, I just don't let the disease have that little bit of play. And it's been helpful to me in a time when I'm experiencing a lot of food thoughts and food fantasies. You know, there's still no, there's no room for the disease to move. I try to do that on, you know, that's been done on purpose, like intentionally. You know, everybody knows what I do and what I eat. And what I, you know, for the most part, what I don't eat, it's pretty, you know, pretty specific and pretty clear for me in any case. So I just needed to be able to say I've learned, you know, people who I haven't told or don't know specifically the ins and outs, you know, random acquaintances maybe that I haven't shared that information with, you know, they are, food is a language of love for a lot of people. So lots of people think giving you food is saying, I like you, I love you, I care about you, all this other stuff. And I've been able to just accept that for some people, that's what they're saying. And I can just accept the sentiment behind it without actually eating it. I don't need to eat the stuff to go, oh, they really just wanted to share that with me because they appreciate me and they like me. And that's okay. I'm okay with that today, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, April. I think it was Judy J. is up next, and then I'll take a new lineup. Go ahead, Judy.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. This is such a good paragraph. I can remember when I went to my doctor, and he saw from my chart and also my physical body that I had lost a significant amount of weight. And I shared what I was doing with him, that I was, you know, weighing and measuring my food and that I was in a 12-step group that focused on eating disorders. And he patted my hand and he said, Judy, don't be at the end of your life and wish you had had that piece of pie. And it just threw me. I mean, he was the same age as me. We're very rural. This is almost an old-fashioned type doctor. I loved him dearly, but it shocked me that he would say that. So the misunderstanding and the ignorance is, even if you have initials behind your name, it was okay. I thought, okay, this is something that maybe I can educate him on. But I thought on the way home from that doctor's visit, I don't want to be on my deathbed. Hopefully my family's surrounding me. I've made my amends to them and we have a good relationship. I don't want to be thinking about that next piece of pie. I want to be clear, present with my loved ones. And it just made my recovery, the work that we do, all of us do, in order to remain abstinent and be present and clear thinkers. I'm just grateful for all of you that speak my language. You understand when I talk about trying to live abstinently in the 12 steps. I'm just so grateful that many, many years ago, I asked somebody about, what does OA mean? And she was a person of 12-step history, and she said, well, Judy, if it's got 12 steps, it's got to be good. And I'm a seeker, and I'm a very curious person. So I was curious. Thank God that I went to my first face-to-face meeting. And I always haven't been abstinent, but it still was always always there in the back of my mind. This is your journey, Judy. This is where you need to be. And I'm just grateful for all of you, and thank you.
Yes, thank you. Judy, where are you from?
I'm from Illinois, and it's Judy with an I, J, from Illinois. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, in case someone wants to look you up. Okay, I'm going to take a new lineup, and before I do that, I just wanted to remind everybody, if you joined us after we started the meeting, we are reading on page 20 today in the big book. There is a solution chapter, the fourth paragraph only, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing on the Vision for You call to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday on any Vision for You call, we ask that you hold back till tomorrow. Who would like to share?
Hi, this is Julia. I'd like to share.
Ronnie in Missouri, I'd like to share.
Hi, this is Julie
from California.
Okay, so two people came in at once. I have Larry G. and Ronnie from Missouri, and then there were two. One from California and another one. So who are the two?
Julie.
Ingrid from California.
Okay, is that Ingrid?
Yes.
Okay, and then I think it was Julie.
Yes, Julie from Boston.
Perfect, and then I think I heard a Kim.
Kim T, Colorado.
Okay. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Not having any
Jordan
sound problems. Any? Okay, Jordan. Anyone else?
Elizabeth K in Massachusetts.
Elizabeth K. All right, let's start with this great lineup. Here we go. We're going to have Larry G, Ronnie, Ingrid, Julie, Kim, Jordan, and Elizabeth. Go ahead, Larry.
Thank you, Sherry. My name is Larry G, and I'm from California. God, I love Vision for You. What a great fellowship. I don't have to look too far beyond myself to find ignorance. In fact, I was in a state of darkness for, well, since 1990. I've been attending OA, except for 6 years where I had to go out there and do some research, and it didn't go well. I went from 215 to 335, and that was the best I could do it on my own. I had some good years, some really good years of physical abstinence, but I never considered that I did not have a sound mind. In fact, you know, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, 41 years, August, 41 years Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's not a meeting I go to that we don't talk about how our minds are abnormal. We have alcoholic thinking, but I never considered that until I got into a vision for you. How could I, Larry G, who is has done really well academically, who has a very successful business, so I thought, has successful relationships, so I thought, well-read, well-traveled, how could I have an abnormal mind? I refused to accept that until I started working with a Vision for You sponsor. And I realized today, I know this in my heart. This is just not something, you know, I believe in. I know it in my heart that unless I accept and admit that my mind is abnormal when it comes to food, or, you know, the obsession of food, that's the insanity, right? That's the insanity that is defined in the doctor's opinion, is the obsession, then I don't have a snowball hell chance of staying abstinent. I can have the best sponsor in the world, have the best food plan, I can attend all the meetings, I could sponsor, I could be sponsored, I can give service, but unless I am dealing with, on a daily basis, a spiritual solution of the obsession of the mind, then it will be just a matter of time before I'm back out there eating compulsively, and I will die this time. I did not want to live May of 2020. Did not want to live. And I have a lot to live for, right? Good marriage, successful business, relationships, you know, 12-step community. I did not want to live. I was thinking about driving my car without a seatbelt in it, seatbelt on, 100 miles an hour into a concrete embankment so my wife could get the life insurance. That was what my thinking on May 17, 2020, the eve before I joined A Vision for You. And my first sponsor, we just drove home the point, Larry, you have an abnormal mind. You think differently. You cannot take that first bite. We have to look at the obsession. And it's not over. I deal with the obsession on occasion basis. So that's why I'm here. That's why I love this program. I love the fact that we study this big book. And I'm out. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Ronnie's up next.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater, grateful to be here. Wonderful readings and sharings and service. Thank you. I really wanted to focus in on a little bit of the obsession and the way my mind, without recovery, reacts. So I was on vacation up in New York, and there's a retro ice cream parlor that's like 120-plus years old, and in the past, and that's more than 3 years ago, I absolutely had to make a trip there. I absolutely had to do that. And I haven't done that in a long time. You know, like my food's clean and I don't eat that. I choose not to eat that today because I'll tell you what, one bite of that and it's adios away. And I might show up in a meeting or two. I might do this or that, but I am going to take a long time to get my abstinence back because I'm in the program over 35 years and I'm coming up on 3 years of recovery, abstinence, and that dumbfounds me. But anyway, I have to be careful of places too, because while I was on vacation, two people said, oh my God, like we got to go to that place, like that place is so good. And it is. And some people can actually eat that, or even if they don't, it's not my business. They can go in and eat the way I used to eat. Anyway, I said, well, guys, you all know, because they do, right, that I don't eat that. And they said, oh, well, you can come. You can just have sherbet. I'm sorry. And I thought, I hate sherbet. If I go, I'm eating. And that doesn't mean to me that I don't have food neutrality. It's just, why would I sit at the bar and drink soda? I don't have a reason to be there. I have camaraderie with my family back at the house. If I go there, I'm either going to white knuckle it and feel totally miserable, or I'm going to lose my abstinence. And so I thought, oh, my God, this is my choice. I don't have to answer to anyone. I don't have to explain anything. I simply said, well, guys, you know, I really don't want to go there. But I'm completely okay. You guys go. Take a few hours. Enjoy yourselves. I'm going to take a really good walk. You do a lot of walking in the city. And I can tell you, I walk 2 or 3 miles a day, so it's fabulous. And, you know, at first my sister was pretty annoyed. She's like, well, Manny wants to go, one of the girls. Why don't you, can't you just come? And it reminded me of, like, you know, people in Al-Anon saying to their significant others, for God's sakes, why can't you do this? Well, it's a matter of I don't want to do that. And, you know, this program gives me permission to make my own choice. And I don't have to answer to anyone except to myself, my higher power, in this program. So I'm grateful to everyone today. Thank you.
Thanks, Ronnie. Ingrid is up next, followed by Julie. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hi, this is Ingrid from California. And, yeah, the world of ignorance and misunderstanding. When I came back to OA after this really bad 10-year relapse, and I didn't even know I was in relapse until it was pointed out to me through outside help, I was in a really dark place of depression, anxiety, imposter syndrome, and I knew I needed help. I needed help, and when I came back to the rooms, I was willing to do absolutely anything. And as I started working through the steps with my sponsor and starting to recover, one of the things that I did is I had to get honest, really honest with my family. I mean, clearly my body had changed, and, you know, my husband of over 20 years knew I was in OA before, but I really didn't talk about it. And this time around, I got really honest with them and had shared with them that when I ate sugar, I'm like the alcoholic who can't stop drinking. I am not normal when it comes to sugar, but I have an allergy of the body that creates this phenomenon of craving. And I gave him example after example of things that happened, like while he was in the room, like things he didn't realize. And today, thankfully, does he fully understand it? No, he's not an alcoholic, but he knows. And also my children know, who are adult children now, that mom can't, there are certain things that mom has to do to take care of herself. And so we're on vacation right now. This is my first time vacationing since I'm being recovered. And, you know, I packed my scale, my measuring cups. I, you know, went to the grocery store. I got foods that I could eat. And, you know, they know, like, so if they're going to get certain stuff, I may accompany them or go for a walk or what have you, but they know not to ask, hey, mom, why don't you just have a little bite of this? Because they did before. And when I was in my disease, the one bite, you know, face down, as much as I wanted to swear off of, you know, just having that one bite, I couldn't do it on my own power. And thankfully, one day at a time with God's power, you know, I'm living in recovery. And you know, with this first vacation, I've got to commit and be here for these, for meetings, for outreach calls, reading my big book, because I don't get to vacation from program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much. And I have 4 names left, and we have less than that amount of time left in the meeting. So maybe if everyone wants to shave off a little time on their share, that would be great. Then I can fit everybody in. So Julie is up next, followed by Kim T. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very clearly.
Oh, great. Thank you. Hi, this is Julie calling from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater, and I relate to so much. I relate to so much in the book, and everybody shares today, and I also cannot eat certain foods. I also have a really messed up mind. I also, when I'm eating, want to die. A switch goes off, and I just become angry and depressed and not wanting to live. And I'm grateful. I've got about two and a half weeks of not eating any binge foods. But, and I'm doing well, and I love my sponsor, and I'm going on meetings and blah, 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 and I'm working in the steps. But I don't really have a set food plan right now. I'm just staying away from my binge foods. So I feel like I'm half doing it and half not, and it's really keeping me up at night. And I don't, you know, I'm grateful that I have a lot of things going on in the summer, and I'm being somewhat social again, you know, since COVID and all that. But it's super hard to be with other people and going out to dinner, and I'm going away with a couple of girls to New Hampshire on a lake this weekend, and there's so much going on with food, and it's really hard. I do weigh and measure when I'm home, but like I said, I just want to put it out there. I'm not on a strict food plan. I'm just staying away from my binge foods, and my sponsor, who's wonderful, keeps on saying, you know, it will come, and this is, you know, doesn't happen overnight, but I'm not feeling great that I don't have a set food plan, and I wanted to put it out there, but also say I'm so grateful. I've been in and out of this program a really long time, since like 97, and this is the first time I have any time not eating any of my binge foods, so I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Julie. And Kim is up next, followed by Jordan and then Elizabeth. Hopefully we'll have time for everybody. Go ahead, Kim. Star one, Kim.
Sorry about that. This is Kim T. in Colorado. Thanks, Sherry. And let's see, I wanted to comment on that last line. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. So I have to, well, I don't have to, but as much as I can, I choose to remember that when my friends or my family are saying, just have this, just have one bite, da 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 da, that their reactions to a piece of cake, to a cookie, to chocolate, to whatever, you know, are my binge foods, their reactions are different. So there's not any way they can possibly understand what I go through. And it starts long before I take that bite, all the mental gyrations in my brain, and should I not have it? Da, da. They'll feel bad if I don't have it. They made it especially for me. I haven't been here in a while. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And the reaction that I have when I put something in my mouth that is an alcoholic food is not normal. I just immediately go into overdrive and start thinking, how can I get away from this place so I can really go eat? And how can I get away from these people? Because I don't want to have people see me eat like this. And yeah, I'm just different. So I appreciate that the Big Book continually reminds me that my brain is very different from other people. And I have a lot of people, all of you on the line, all of you in these rooms, that whose minds you understand. You understand me, and you understand my crazy brain, and God's given me a way out. So thanks, and thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much, Kim. Jordan's up next, and then followed by Elizabeth. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for moderating for us, Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, abstinent, and on a meeting of OA this morning. That's exactly what I was, I wanted to point out. These expressions, the expressions that were just listed, refer to people that are having a completely different reaction, to what it is that happens to me. These are people that do not experience the phenomenon of craving. They do not have the physiological reaction to my alcoholic foods, to those substances that I do. We're going to read about them. Some of them are moderate eaters. Some of them are hard eaters who stop with sufficient reason. They learn to stop or moderate with sufficient reason. And the fact for me is that I was given sufficient reason 100 times over and could not learn to stop or moderate. And that's because I'm a real compulsive overeater and I experience the phenomenon of craving, a different reaction than what those expressions are referring to. Those expressions are not applicable to me at all in any way, shape, or form. I don't need to figure them out or reason with them at all. They do not apply to me as a real compulsive overeater. That's all I have.
Oh, thanks so much, Jordan. And we will have time for 2-minute share. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth Kay in Massachusetts, recovering one day at a time. I just wanted to share on this paragraph that though my family may not understand or grasp it all, they are so very supporting, and they know, you know, when we have a family gathering or something that I'll bring my own food, or they put something on the menu that I may be able to eat, and I'm grateful for that. And jokingly, I'll say to my husband, hey, let's go eat so-and-so, and he'll say, no, you really don't want to do that. So I'm so grateful for the support that I have. But outside of my family, people don't understand. And I was talking with a friend and explaining to her some things happening in my life. And she said, gee, you really have a full plate. How about you stop that food program for a while and concentrate on some of these other things? And, you know, her having a weight problem too, thinks of it as a diet. And that's how I used to think too. And I just said to her, no, you don't understand. I said, if you had a friend that was an alcoholic and they were having a lot of things going on in their life, would you say to them, how about just drink for now and then you can take care of it later? And I said, that's what it would be doing to me. It would be as if I was taking a drink again, and I can't do that. And so just understanding that they look at things as diets the way I used to, and that they don't understand. And I'm okay with that, and I can just explain best I can. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Elizabeth. And I'm glad we got everybody in. What a great meeting. And now we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, Sherry. And thank you, everyone, for a wonderful meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.